In spite of the best prepared and delivered sermons, in spite of the most insightful and engaging Bible classes, in spite of the most careful and diligent pastoral care, pastors face the personal and professional tragedy of unbelief. Some people just don't get it. One pastor reports that 50 to 75% of recent converts to his congregation give little to the church and its work, and within 6 months have stopped attending service. About a year ago, a survey from the Pew Foundation came out that showed that a majority of Americans will change their denominational affiliation and even their religious preference during some point at their lives. That kind of thing can drive a pastor crazy. Sometimes it will seem like there is a revolving door on your church as the people come and the people go. Why? Why don't they get it? Sometimes when you're preaching, it will seem like you're looking into a sea of blank faces. They hear scriptures, sermons, hymns, prayers. You visit, exhort, teach, but nothing registers. Having eyes, they do not see. This is easily one of the most frustrating points about being in the ministry. It can lead to the frustrated cry, "What is the point of all this?" And at that point, a great temptation can come upon you. You will feel like you want to quit or to seek the greener pastures of a supposedly more orthodox church. Frustration is a basic human condition. Oh, it's true, we manage to keep things together from time to time, and sometimes our plans even work out. But underlying most of our lives are basic worries, fears, and frustrations. In the words of the great Ringo Starr hymn, "It don't come easy." Better yet, "In the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground." On that cheery note, by the way, congratulations to all of you who received calls last night. Scripture is full of stories of individuals overcome by the vagaries of life. Even that great man of faith, Abraham, wavered. Doubting God's promise and frustrated with God's timing, he took steps to establish the covenant for himself. Israel repeatedly gave themselves over to their own ends, grumbling in the wilderness that the God of Moses had deserted them. And Moses wanted to desert them in turn. So many great heroes of the faith, Moses, Samson, David, Elijah, Jonah, all frustrated to the point of giving up on God. So tell me this. Why is Thomas the one who gets the bad rap? Why is he known forever as the doubter? Maybe John had something against him. Luke, however, played fair. This coming week, we'll hear how the whole bunch of disciples was literally disbelieving. But there you have it. Whether it's Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, whether it's Peter denying or Thomas doubting, no one gets a pass. They are all disbelieving. They are all fearful. They are all frustrated at the way things turned out. So why do you think you should get a pass? Oh, I know you say to yourself, I do, how did these guys miss the point so badly? They'd been with Jesus 3 years, and yet they seemed to have missed the whole point of his ministry. Over and over again, he told them how it was absolutely necessary that the Son of Man go to the cross, suffer, die, and rise again. And yet, when it happened before their very eyes, when the faith was enfleshed in their midst, when the incarnate, victorious Christ stood amongst them, they didn't get it. What is their problem? Well, my guess is that if Jesus suddenly returned here, now, in the midst of Cramer Chapel, we would all be scared to death, and rather uncertain as to what was happening, to put it mildly. In fact, you might be frustrated in your own rush to the exit by your fellow believers. We pray with great integrity and with fervor, Amen, come quickly, Lord Jesus, just not too quickly. The disciples can't handle it, and we can't either. Which is why Jesus comes to frustrated and doubting human hearts, filled with weakness and confusion, and says the word that only he makes real, peace. There is peace with God through Christ. He who has taken away your sins has overcome sin, death, and the devil. These are no match for the Word made flesh. He has conquered, and he scatters their frustration and yours by saying, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus told scared and doubting disciples, who were so much quicker to believe in ghosts than the Word of God, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." Or as we heard it earlier, "Put your finger right here." Our Lord comforts us by his own presence, by showing them and us how real he is, over against the ghosts that frustrate human plans and haunt our hearts and minds. He shows them and us his hands and feet. He tells them and us to touch him. My friends, the Lord who stood and ate in the presence of his disciples to calm their fears is here in our presence today, and he provides for us the meal of salvation, his body and blood, to calm our fears, to remove all doubts, to end all frustration. By his presence, Christ moves us from frustration and fear to faith and hope. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.